The Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Let's all rise on our feet this morning as we give all the praises to the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hey,
This morning we are going to lift our hands as we sing praises unto the name of the Lord. The Lord has been good to me. I don't know about you. He is a good God. He is faithful. He is kind. He paid for our sins. We are alive. We are blessed. We are favored. We are lifted. We are in good health just because of His mercy. Lift your hands and sing praises to Him. To your name, oh Lord.
times, and then that'll be. Thank you. Sing it again.
I sing praises to your name.
Your hands up and sing it to the Lord.
For your name is great and greatly to be praised. I sing praises to your name. Oh Lord, praises to your name.
Sing it so that his name can do wonders in your life.
Praises to your name.
Shariba kataya raba soriana.
Oh Lord, praises to your name.
Thank you, Jesus. Say hallelujah. Say hallelujah. Say hallelujah. You're praising him because he's standing right by you. Say hallelujah. Say hallelujah. Say it from your spirit. Hallelujah. Say hallelujah. Say hallelujah. Say hallelujah. Hallelujah to the King of Glory. We praise you and we thank you. We magnify your holy name. You know, you praise the Lord to a place where you can't even speak or you don't even have strength to stand before his presence. May God bring all of us to that place. In the name of Jesus. The Lord is greatly to be praised. He is greatly to be praised because he is God. He is God Almighty. He doesn't need any one of us, but he chose us. Somebody say, I'm chosen. Somebody say, I'm chosen by the Almighty God. Do you understand what that means? You are chosen. You are the apple of his eyes. You are carved in the palm of his hand. He thought about you all the time. You're always on his mind. When others forget you, he does not forget you. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Say your hallelujah. Say thank you to God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. To God be all the glory. Father, we honor you. We are grateful. In spite of all our errors and mistakes and sins, you still draw us to yourself. You still love us with an everlasting love. You still want us to be with you, not just now, but for all eternity. Lord, we give you praise. We thank you for this service this morning. Let all our songs and adoration be acceptable in your sight. Let our worship be acceptable before you, O God. Let it come as sweet savor before you. Let all that is going to happen in this service today magnify your name. Father, we give you praise. We thank you for your wonders. And we thank you for bringing us again to your house. May your name be greatly praised. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Thank you, worship team. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to read a scripture and then we're going to pray. Psalm 27. This week, I want you to spend a little bit of extra time to pray for yourself, your family, that the Lord will preserve you and your household. That the Lord will take care of every member of your family and extended family, and then pray for your neighbors also. In the name of Jesus, the spirit of destruction and disaster will pass over. In the name of Jesus. All right, Psalm 27. Let's read the 14 verses so you can catch up. Psalm 27, we read from verse 1 to 14. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Somebody say big amen. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I would seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Say big amen. Verse 5, for in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. May he hide you and your family. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall my head be lifted up above mine enemies. Round about me, therefore, will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Somebody shout hallelujah. Verse 7, hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou said, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Somebody shout hallelujah. You know anything you say in your heart, the Lord hears it. So might as well say, God, I seek after you. Say amen. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. Say big amen. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breed out cruelty. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. There's a lot that I could comment on there. I just sort of just reading and praying this morning. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. All right, verse 12. The Lord want me to talk about, I'll just give you a word about that, very brief. Deliver me not over unto the will of my enemies. Do you know if you don't cancel the will of your enemies against your life, they will affect your life, whether you hear them or not? So every day, say, God, deliver me. Say it now. God, deliver me from the will of my enemies. So whatever their plot and their thought and their actions are, it doesn't matter whether they are with you or far away, they can be in another continent. If you don't cancel their will will affect you and your family. Say, I cancel all the will of my enemies from any direction, any location, any place. Their intent, their actions, their activities, their projection, their ideas, their will. I cancel them and destroy them in the name of Jesus. They have no effect on me and my household and anything that concerns me. You should say a big amen. Amen. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. The best place to be is in his presence. Somebody say, I'm going to wait in his presence. Say amen. Rise with me. Let us pray. We prayed already strong prayer, so we're just thanking him. Father, we thank you that you have heard us. We thank you, God, that no enemy will have an upper hand against us. We are more than conqueror in Christ Jesus. We are those that overtake. We are not overtaken, we overtake. In the name of Jesus, we override. We are not overridden, we override. We override every plans and every activities, written, spoken, acted, projected, any shape or form, communication media. We destroy all of them in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we give you praise. No weapon formed against any one of us, our families, ministry, business, children, spouses, grandchildren, anything that concerns us shall prosper. We bring them to nothing. We condemn their words. We condemn their activities. We condemn their projection. We condemn any plans and their wills. We condemn them. We bring them to nothing. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you, God, that you are on our Lord and you are our salvation. You are our light and our salvation. So we say, let there be light and let there be salvation for entire family in the name of Jesus and ministry. We give you praise. Thank you, God, for testimonies. Thank you for deliverance. Thank you for salvation. We give you praise. Thank you, God, that glory and peace, our church, our praying people. They speak the word of the Lord. They pray. Let the weak among us become strong now. In the name of Jesus, let them rise from every slumber they have been and be awakened by your spirit. Be quickened by your spirit to do what they have been called to do, to seek your face, to pray, to tell people about Jesus, to give, to magnify your name, to bring sacrifice of praise, sacrifice of joy, sacrifice of their vows, sacrifice of magnifying your name. There's more than enough in your household. In the name of Jesus, and others and every family that they are in contact with, be saved, sanctified, glorify the name of the Lord, and grow in the things of God. Let it be so for all those who hear the sound of my voice this morning, their ministries and their cities and their nation, in the name of Jesus. Pray now for the peace of Jerusalem, peace within her walls, prosperity to her palaces. Lord, save your people. Your word say, all Israel shall be saved. Israel, your glory. Israel, the apple of your eye. Israel, carved in the palm of your hand. Israel, your firstborn. Remember your people and remember your everlasting covenant. You have made with our fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. A covenant, let it go to work. Remember the voice of the covenant. In the mighty name of Jesus, remember the blood covenant. And remember the blood of Jesus, speak better things than that of Abel. May he speak for us, speak for the nation of Israel, speak for Canada, Nigeria, United States of America, Germany, Spain, Yugoslavia. Speak, speak, salvation, strength, healing, deliverance, islands of the seas, and all first nations of the earth. Touch your people, Lord. As the people are calling on your name, hear that one or two voices, hear that nation, save and deliver them, remove all wicked leaders, place righteous leaders, deliver your people. Let there be more than enough that the people will glorify the name of the Lord. You are the God who can save Nineveh. Who saved Nineveh, you can save any nation. Any nation where the word of the Lord is sounded, you can save. Not just some, abundantly save. In the mighty name of Jesus. Raise prophets in this house. Raise leaders in this house. Raise apostles in this house. Raise pastors in this house. Raise helpers in this house. Raise evangelists in this house. Raise people, oh God, who want to serve God, who want to talk about Jesus, who want to bring glory to your name. Raise financiers in this house, businessmen and businesswomen. Raise people who prosper and do the work of God, that there'll be more than enough meat in this house. Lord, you know why you are blessing them. It's not just for their pocket, it's for your house. It's to do the things of God, and they will have more than enough for their family for generation. Father, turn our heart aright to focus on what is important. In the mighty name of Jesus, Father, touch your people. Let them not rise and then fall. May they rise and continue to rise in the name of Jesus. Father, we give you praise. We give you praise. Deliver us from every counsel of wickedness and continue to put us in the place of righteousness. In the mighty name of Jesus, be in the service this morning. Let your name be glorified. Bless all the tithes and the offering. Bless everyone here. Bless their family. Grant them a great week of success and victory. Let the word of the Lord come to Apostle as he brings the word this morning. Bless him. Strengthen him. The 50th ministry anniversary is coming up this September. We commit all of it into your hands. All the finances to do what it needs to be done. All the people that need to come. All the word of the Lord and the celebration and everything. Father, may your name be glorified. We thank you for 50 years of victory. Thank you, God, that you are a God of Jubilee. May Jubilee, God of Jubilee, visit Apostle. Visit me. Visit our family. Visit our ministry. Visit our friends and those who are supporters of this ministry. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray now for those that are sick, struggling. We command that they be healed, be restored, be made whole. And those that lack, provide more than enough for them, that they know they have to give, and they begin to see you give more, because you are the one who gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater. May we be the people you continue to give seed to, so that we have seed to sow and more than enough bread to eat. And Lord, bless all our bread and our water, and remove sickness and disease from all of us. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated, Apostle.
Word of my patience. The word is the word for patience, the word hupomone. That means to stand up. In other words, you need to come under the shelter and the canopy of my word. That's what patience is. You stand under the covering of God, trusting that God is going to shelter you through the storm. Because it's about to rain, all kinds of stuff. It says, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation. Glory be to God. Amen. It's good to have you here in the house of the Lord this morning as we explore the Word of God together as His people. But before I begin sharing with you, what the Lord has placed on my heart for us today. Somebody's celebrating a birthday this week. Do you know who that is? Yes, Pastor Maria this week. I think that will be, what, Friday, the 24th. That's a Friday. Yeah, so remember to pray, support, do whatever it is God leads you to do to encourage her as she continues to celebrate the goodness of God. I think she's turning 29 again, I think. The number doesn't change. Hallelujah. Amen. So July 24th, that's a great day. That happens to be the day that I got saved too. In 74. God is master at ordering our steps. Hallelujah. Today I want to continue to explore the Word of God with us as Father's led us to from the book of Judges, the 6th chapter, Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. In the last few weeks, we talked about peace. We defined what peace, the peace of God was. Then we talked about joy, and we explored some more on that. And now we're talking about somewhat about fear. Seems to be at another spectrum. Seems to be something that is not directly aligned to the first two. But the fact is, if you are living in fear, you don't have joy. If you're living in fear, you don't have peace. So in a sense, it's a natural flow of thought. Now, when we started talking about it Sunday morning, we picked up our passage of scripture from Judges chapter 6. And we'll continue from there. But if you miss Sunday night service, then you're way behind. So I encourage you strongly, as best as I can, as your pastor, go online, go on the app, listen to the message, repeat the message from Sunday morning, and then go to the evening. But definitely don't miss what was talked about in the evening. You see, ignorance is the greatest harm that you can bring to your life. One thing I've learned through the years is assume nothing. Don't even assume that you know. The more I know, the more I learn to know that I do not know. Praise the Lord. So sometimes even after preaching the word of God, I go back. I'm the one that preached it. But I also know this, that whatever it is I'm preaching based on what God is revealing. And sometimes the revelation is right now. And I need to tap into it and eat of that so that I am fully nourished. And it is part of my life. Because how many of you know that the food that you ate is what gives you strength for the next season, the next moment? Amen? the apple doesn't come out and start fighting for you. The apple that you did not eat will not fight for you. The spinach that you did not eat will not fight for you. The steak that you did not eat will not fight for you. The food that is left on the table will never nourish you and strengthen you. It is what you meditate on. Let me say that again. It is what you meditate on. May I put it this way for you? Faith comes by hearing, true? And hearing comes by the word of God. Faith comes by what? Hearing. But hearing comes by what? So hearing is used twice. Why? Because you heard it, but you did not hear it until you meditate on it. Until you understand it, you don't have it. Let me say that again. Until you understand it, you don't have it. Don't assume that because you came to church and you sat down and you heard the word preached that you've got it. No, you got to chew on it. Because the food is in your mouth does not mean that you've eaten it. I hope I'm helping you. You got to chew. And after you've chewed, you've got to swallow. The Word of God says, meditate on the Word of God. When? Day and night. Day and night. Meditate on it. And you will be like a tree that is planted by the waters, that produces its fruit in its season. It says the wicked are not so. The wind comes and blows them away just like chaff. Receive the word of the Lord. Anyway, let's go on. In Judges 6, we read these words. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. We found out from the passage of Scripture in verse 10 what that evil was. Because God sent a prophet to them when he was going to deliver them. And the word of God says that God spoke to them and said, I am the Lord your God, fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. Notice it words, in whose land ye dwell. But ye have not obeyed my voice. Wait a minute. God said this land belonged to the Israelites. Did he not? Okay. He brought them from Egypt, brought them to the promised land, and said, I've given you the land. God said that. But now God himself said, right here, and I said unto you, I'm the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. So whose land is it? Is it the land of the Israelites or is it the land of the Amorites? The Amorites, remember we talked about the Amorites and we said that the Amorites were seers. They were speaking, the Amorites. They were mountain dwellers. They were high-minded individuals driven by self-exaltation. In other words, they were lovers of themselves, and they manifested that particular posture with their boastings, with their slander, with their sense of dictatorial presence. And as long as they stayed talking, saying that it was their land. God agreed with them that it was their land. Why? Because the people of God were afraid, and they were afraid because they were not saying, this is our land. God gave us this land. Whatever God has given to you is yours as long as you keep on saying it is yours. But if there's another person who knows their God better than you know your God, they will take what is yours from you. Is somebody listening? I hope you're listening. Because some of us, we spend our time complaining. Oh, God, why is all this happening to me? Oh, God, oh, God, oh, oh. You will be crying, oh God, for the rest of your life because you've not laid claim to what is rightfully yours. And God will agree with the one who's saying it's theirs. He said, I told you not to be afraid of the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. The land you dwell belongs to whom? The Amorites. But to whom? The gods of the Amorites. So there's a stronghold that needs to be torn down. There is a stronghold that needs to be torn down. Or else you will not take full possession of what is rightfully yours. And that which is still laying claim to that turf will keep on terrorizing you. And beloved, that is a problem that we face as God's people, as Christians. We don't have possession of what is rightfully ours, because we've not laid claim to it, one, and two, because we have not dislodged the powers that are operating in that territory. The Word of God says we are not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world. So there is rulers that are operating in the darkness that's in the world. We are busy praying about the darkness, but not dealing with the rulers that rule the darkness. Tonight, if you know what is good for you, you will be here. Because we are going to go into the realms of the spirit and begin to dislodge certain things. Amen. Amen. Ignorance destroys people. Let me give you an example without calling names. There are ministries that have come through the earth. For example, healing ministries. And mantles are passed on. One of the leading healing ministries that operated in the 1900s was a woman with a powerful healing anointing on her life. But before she died, and she died with cardiac arrest, she was divorced twice. The next person that took on that mantle under her got divorced twice and died from cardiac arrest. Are you with me so far? The next person after her was a woman again. That one died from cardiac arrest. Then a guy. That one died from cardiac arrest. And all of these were getting divorced twice, every one of them. Every single one of them. That same anointing, and I'll mention the last name, because this one you will know, that moved with that same, under that same flow of that anointing, was a man that we know with a healing ministry called Benny Hinn. Are you with me? Guess what? Heart problems, divorced twice from the same woman. Same thing. Why? Because the principality that is fighting that anointing, that mantle, has not been dislodged. So whatever it is that is happening with the first one continues. The history continues. You cannot live your life with your eyes closed and not deal with things. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you something. The grace that was on my spiritual father is on me. I know that, and especially the way he walks when he's going to the pulpit, I find myself walking the same way. Not intentionally, but I walk the same way. I noticed one, I said, what is going on here? This is how Papa walks. So I decided, I got something from the man, but whatever it is that he had to battle, I know I need to dislodge it because I will end up in the same pattern. Is somebody listening? It is the way it is. It is the way it is. Did your parents not pass their genes to you? It's in your blood. I remember a particular family did their blood, whatever it is, ancestry stuff, right? A grandson did an ancestry, didn't know that the grandma was doing the ancestry. And when the grandma did the ancestry, they said, your closest relative is so and so. Are you with me? He says, you have a close relative. And he mentioned the name of the grandson without that name being in the profile. Somebody listening? It's in your blood. You got to deal with the principalities and the powers. If your father had a divorce, you got to deal with the spirit that caused that divorce. You got to stop it so that it doesn't continue to the next generation, because it gets worse and worse. It doesn't get better. Some of the struggles that you are struggling with are struggles related to what your father struggled with. If your father or your mother, your family, they started out wealthy, but in the later part of their life they became poor, you got an issue that you need to deal with. Is somebody listening? Okay. Now, I'm not saying all of those things so that you can be afraid. I'm saying those things to tell you what you need to shut down so that you can possess what belongs to you in an everlasting posture. Praise the Lord. We live in a spiritual world. The world is very spiritual. And you cannot assume anything. And God says, I want you not to be afraid of the gods of the Amorites. He says, but ye have not obeyed my voice. This is what I told you, you did not obey. You lived in fear, And therefore, the gods of the Amorites are still in charge. They are still in control. And because they are still in control, those that are worshiping them are now in control. And how did they control? The Bible says the spirit of the Midianites. And watch this. Watch this. Watch this. This is so deep. Because how the enemy operates is that he operates with that which is close to you family-wise. Let me say that again. How the enemy operates is that he operates against you with that which is close to you family-wise. These people are being oppressed by the Midianites, the spirit of strife. Who are the Midianites? If I told you that the Midianites were the children of Abraham, would you believe that? The Midianites were the children of Abraham that came through Keturah. When Sarah died, Keturah had children. And the Midianites were part of that family. Let me digress just briefly. Come with me to Genesis 25 and verse 2. Okay, let's start it from verse 1. He said, then again Abraham took a wife, and her name was Keturah. That's her name, Keturah. Keturah is not a bad name. Keturah means incense. But in that word, incense, the word incense can have two meanings or two interpretations. Incense is that, what is the word I want to use? Spice is not the best word, but let's use the word spice for now, that you put on a hot plate and it will release certain fragrances. Yeah? If you go to some churches, they will have incense and they swing it all over the place. Yeah? You know those people? Hallelujah. That's incense. But the word incense can also mean anger, to be incensed against somebody. Are you with me? Now, in the scriptures, there are particular names that have two meanings. And it is your decision to choose which meaning will be operational in your life. Praise the Lord. Okay, so we have Keturah, incense. And she bore Abraham a son called Zimran. Zimran means musician. That sounds good. Musician. And then she bore another one called Jokshan. Now, what's Jokshan? Jokshan means a snarer, someone who snares people, entraps people. That's his name. And then Jokshan, she bore another one called Medan. Medan means contention. Also, from musician, we have a snarer. Now we have a contender. And then the next name is Midian. And we told you what Midian means. Midian means strife. But remember the point that the name Keturah has two sides to it. Yeah? The fragrance, which represents also that which is prayer, musician, and now we have these three names, Jokshan, Medan, and Median, right there in the middle. And then we have the name Ishbak. Now, that changes the trajectory. Ishbak means he that releases. And then we have and Shua. Shua means wealth. So we have the mix, this mixture. But right in the middle is all this trouble. Starting good, ending good, but the middle is a big mess. Are we together so far? These are the children that came out of Keturah. Now, in life, we've got to be very careful. Because people answer their names. Every time a name is called, it's a prophetic statement. Are we together? If I call the name Isaac, I'm making a particular declaration. Every time I say Isaac, every time I say Jeremiah, every time I say Elijah, every time I say Reuben, every time I say Benjamin, I'm making a prophetic declaration. It's a declaration that needs to be responded to. And every time the person answers, they are saying amen. Are we there yet? You with me? I want to lose you. I'm not going through all of this because I'm going through a rabbit trail. So we have all of this. Now, I want to read you verse 3 for a reason. And I'm also going to read you verse 4 for a reason. Remember, we listed 5 names. Yes? 6? Jokshan. Zimran. Jokshan, Medan, Median, Ishbak, Shua. 6. Thank you. Now, watch what happens here. And Jokshan, it didn't mention Zimran. And Jokshan begat Sheba. That's not a bad name. And Dedan. Let me not spend my time on these names. Just want to make one particular point. Jokshan begat Sheba and Dedan, and the sons of Dedan were Ashurim and Letushim and Lumim. And the sons of what? Median. Verse 4. Wait a minute. Where's Median? That's the next one. How come we skip to Median? And the sons of Median, Ephah and Ephah, and Hanok, and Abida, and Eldiah. All these were the children of Keturah. What happened to Shua and Ishbak? What happened to Medan and Zimran in this genealogy? God is trying to get a point across to us. The enemy did not pick on the good names. He didn't pick on the musician. He didn't even pick on the one who releases each back. He didn't pick on Shua, which means wealth. He goes right to Midian. He didn't even deal with Medan, which is contention. He goes to the high level of contention, which is strife. Picks on that name. He picks on Jokshan, which is the snarer. Are we together? The enemy is strategic. That's the point. Your enemy is strategic. And if you're going to win, you got to be strategic too. You cannot be complacent when dealing with the forces of darkness that have come to scare the daylight off of you. You got to know who you are, what you are about, what God has called you to be, and recognize that God has given you His peace and has not given you fear. Therefore, anytime you see fear, you've got to come against it. How and with what? The Word of God tells us there are certain things that we pray about that God didn't tell us to pray about. The Word of God says, perfect love casts out fear. Is that what it says? Perfect love casts out fear. So if you're going to deal with the spirit of fear, you've got to remind yourself that you are loved by God. It is not you praying. You can pray all you want. You can pray. No problem. Pray. But the only way you're going to know victory over fear is, first of all, you recognizing that you have been loved by God and that God gave you the place that you are in right now and that the devil is trying to steal it from you. Let us see an example of that. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I don't know how far I'm going to go with this message this morning, but let's look. It says, it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and with them all that beside the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria. And behold, they be in Hazazon, Tamar, which is Engedi. And Jehoshaphat what? Feared. And set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? Now, remember the response is, if you're God and you're the God that our father has been talking about, how come all of this has befallen us? Here, this man comes and says, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God? Aren't you God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God? Are you not our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel and gave us it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever? You loved this man. Ah, you gave it to his seed, and they dwell therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if when evil cometh upon us, as a sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now behold the children of Ammon and Moab and Mamre, whom thou wouldst not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. They're talking about the same land. Are we together? This is a man who, yes, he was afraid. If I launch at you all of a sudden, you go, if I make a bang, loud noise, you, what is that? But you recoup, you regroup. And that's why exactly what Jehoshaphat did. He heard about this great army that was coming against him, and he was afraid, but then he regrouped. Are we together? That you got afraid at a particular moment is not the end of the story. Remind yourself about who you are, what your legacy is, who it is that you serve, what your track record is, the legacy that has followed you, that, oh, my father, this is what you did, this is what you did, this is what you did, and this is ours. And they're trying to take what belongs to us away from us. Huh? That's a totally different story. And today I want to challenge you to embrace the truth of God's word and say, this is for me, that not for me. I am loved by God. What else did he do? When he put all of that together, the Bible says he began to rejoice by putting a praise and worship team together. And put our worship team ahead of the army. And as they were blessing the name of the Lord and talking about how the mercies of God endure forever, God waylaid and ambushed the enemy that came against them, and they began to kill themselves. They wiped themselves out. So shall it be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That whatever it is that has come against you, come against me, come against this church, that they will fight against themselves and destroy themselves, and we shall take spoil. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. The word of God says they collected spoil for 3 days. That's past, present, and future. Hallelujah. We shall collect all that belongs to us. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. And we shall celebrate in the valley of Barakah, the valley of abundance. The enemy came to destroy them, but it's the enemy that God destroyed. I say in the mighty name of Jesus that the enemies that have come against us, they shall destroy themselves. Amen. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you, Father. Let me remind you, don't miss tonight. So here is the Midianites. They have come, as we established last week, Sunday. The spirit of strife came to destroy everything and to bring them to a place of impoverishment. And we establish one particular truth, that if you want to be broke, if you want to stay poor, entertain Midian, the spirit of strife. The spirit of strife will destroy your resources. It will not stop you from experiencing increase. It's just that you will not enjoy the increase that you brought about. It will take it from you. It will steal it from you. It will cause you to engage in spending frivolously whatever resources come into your hand so that you stay poor. What do people in strife do in the natural to help them resolve their strife issues, to calm down? Primarily, people do two things. First thing they do is they eat a lot and booze. Two, they go shopping. Is that the truth or not? What will those two things do if you all you're doing is eating? You know the passage of scripture that says the man, as a man thinketh, so is he? The next statement has to do with food. Right in the same verse. Right there in the same verse. And you think, what is the connection with the food and the drinking and with, as a man thinketh, so is he? Well, if you're not thinking right and you allow the spirit of the enemy to come in there, you are going to gravitate on that which is totally natural and try to satisfy what God needs to satisfy in your life with chop, chop, chop. I have to buy something. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. The morsel which thou hast eaten shalt thou vomit up and lose thy sweet words. Listen, the enemy again is strategic. Understand your enemy. Amen? That's one of the first principles you need to put in place. Understand your enemy. Understand yourself. Know who you are, but understand your enemy. Know how your enemy moves. Boxers will study their opponent to see how he moves. They watch his legs. How is he moving his legs when he's about to throw a particular punch? What is exposed when he throws that punch? You study the person so you know that person so well that you know exactly what to do to contradict whatever it is that he's doing. Footballers do the same thing. Soccer players do the same thing. Everybody does. You got to study your enemy. Not, you just don't need to just know who you are. You got to know who your enemy is. And I'm telling you how your enemy operates. And you need to align yourself properly so that you win. Sometimes the battle may be long, but you know for sure you will win. Hello? There's a great heavyweight champion called Muhammad Ali. He understood his enemy, and he did something called rope-a-dope. He goes to the ring, and he stays there, and there is his enemy hitting and hitting and hitting and hitting and hitting. And he's taking all those punches only to wait till when he sees that that opponent's punch is not as strong as it used to be. Then he says, okay, he's lost most of his energy. Now let me go for him. And all of a sudden, the table turns. And it's a knockout. But while you were watching, you thought he was losing, but he was not losing. He knew his enemy. Know your enemy. And understand that God has not called you to fail. Hallelujah. People may be watching and think you are failing and you're losing. No, 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 not when you know yourself and you know the strategy of the enemy and you know exactly when to strike. You think God is a fool? When the devil is busy whooping him and nailing him to the cross and thinking he's had his upper hand? No, no, no. Jesus was in full control all the way. All the way. Don't count me out. Hallelujah. Don't count me out. I'm still in this fight. Don't count yourself out. You're still in this fight. And you will win. Some say, I will win. Because the greater one is in me. I didn't come into this fight to lose. I came into this fight to win. Hallelujah. The day the enemy came after me, he made the biggest mistake. Because this day, this gang leader is coming down. Amen. He's going to lose again. Amen. Somebody shout hallelujah. Amen. Glory be to God. Here they come. Gideon is looking at the situation and it's not looking good. And here comes the prophet of God. Speaks to them about what the issue was. And now comes the angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord comes to them in verse 12. He says, they appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. The Lord is what? With you, mighty man of valor. And Gideon is looking at himself and saying, I think you're talking to the wrong person. I think you got the wrong address. He gives this complaint. The Bible tells us in verse 14 what God meant when he called him the mighty man of valor. The Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might. Well, the guy just complained about all the problems and how impossible things were in verse 13. He says, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. How? Have not I sent thee? His mighty man of valor status was based on the fact that God had sent him. God had spoken to him and said, I'm with you, go. And today, do not count on your natural abilities, because your natural ability will fail you. God wants you to count on his word spoken to you, the prophetic word released unto your life. That's why God sends prophets. Now, I might be speaking to you today, but I did not say, thus saith the Lord to thee. But I'm speaking the word of God. And as you receive that word of God, you are now, this very moment, empowered to succeed. Somebody shout hallelujah. God says, go. So he says, you're telling me to go, but I'm the least in my family. We come from a broke family. The family of Manasseh. I don't see how this is going to work. And the Lord says to him again, surely I will be with you. And thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. We talked about this, I suppose, Sunday night. And said, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Stay here, wait for me. And he goes and brings a sacrificial gift. He invests himself in making something that was precious. Remember, the Midianites had come and they had wiped out everything. But here's this man of God. He finds a kid. He makes cakes out of flour. He puts everything in a basket. He gets a pot of broth, brings it under the oak tree where the angel was, and presents it to the angel. The angel says, put it on upon that rock. So he put it on the rock. The angel touches the rock. Fire comes out of the rock and consumes the sacrifice that the man brought. Miracles. This is another level. For the breakthrough to take place, he had to give sacrificially. This was not an easy thing. He did that. The angel leaves and he goes home. By instruction, verse 23 says, and the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee. Fear not, thou shalt not die. And Gideon goes home and the Bible says, watch this. Gideon goes home, builds an altar at his house, and he calls it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day it is yet in Ophrah of the Abizrites. After he puts down the altar of the Lord, he goes to his father's house. Of course, here in this altar in verse 26, we read these words. In verse 26, it says, he built this altar unto the Lord God, and he put it in the place where he had presented the sacrifice. And he brings the second bullock, the word of God says, and offered the burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which he had cut down. Now, what is this about? What this is about is that when he left the angel, he goes home and he tears down the altar that his father had built for Baal. And he had a grove or Ashtoreth, which represents the goddess of fortune, of wealth, that surrounded that altar. And this altar had been working because it's been receiving sacrifices such that the people around saw Gideon's father as their priest somewhat. Now Gideon comes, and the first thing he does is that he demolishes that altar. Now, that takes boldness. This is a man who now begins to believe God. Now, God knew at the very start when Gideon was saying, I don't believe, that he was going to bring him to the place of believing. Amen? Where you are right now in your walk of faith may not be the determinant of where you are or what God sees about you. The thing that you and I must have is the willingness to flow in the direction of God, even though we feel challenged in believing. Just keep on going with him. Gideon did the same thing. It was a challenge for him to believe. And in fact, there were still elements of, is this right? He's proven that God was going to be with him. He's seen the angel ascend. He's seen fire come out of the rock, but he's still going to put a fleece out. God is not tired of your questions. Hello? Glory be to God. Don't write yourself out because you had a question. Just keep on moving in the direction that God is calling you to, even though it seems like you're not believing it all together. Just keep on going. You'll come to the place where you see the manifestation of the power of God based on what God does. Hallelujah. So he takes 10 men with him because he didn't want to do it during the day because he was afraid of the people. He did it at night. He tore down the grove, and he's going to use some of the wood of the groves to burn the sacrifice he's going to have. That's another truth. I don't want to go there right now, or else I'll get stuck. So here he is. He's moving farther and farther and closer to the will of God. It says in verse 28, I want you to notice something. We're coming to a very important aspect of this discourse. It says, and when the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cut down that was by it, and the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. And they said one to another, who had done this thing? And when they inquired and asked, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, had done this thing. Notice, this is the altar that Joash had built for himself. Why are they all interested? It is Joash that's supposed to discipline his son. Ask his son, why did you tear down my altar? No, it's the neighborhood. Because it's a spiritual thing. He says, then the men of the city came and says, Joash, bring out your son. We want to kill him. Because he had cast down the altar of Baal. And because he had cut down the grove that was by it. This is the grove of Asherah. And Joash said unto the people, hold your peace now. Cool it. Are you going to plead for Baal? Are you going to fight his battle? If Baal's altar was destroyed by my son, and the proof of it we still have to deal with, why are you here trying to fight for Baal? He can fight his own fight. Will you save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death while it's yet morning. If you're going to fight for Baal, we better kill you because you are disrespecting Baal, that he cannot fight. Oh, look at the argument. If he be a god, let him plead for himself, because one had cast down his altar. Therefore, on that day, he called him Jerubbaal. That's Gideon's new name, Jerubbaal, saying, let Baal plead against him because he had thrown down his altar. So the guys, forget about that. But watch this. He says, then all the Midianites, are we together? Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. So when this altar was torn down, the Midianites began to move. Normally they move when it was harvest time to destroy, but now they are moving at another time. Based on what? The thing that was servicing their God was destroyed. I remember the day that I was called to ministry, September 5th of 76, a Sunday. I had an uncle that wasn't worshiping God. He had gods that he was worshiping. He is in the city of Lagos. We are in worry. Nobody called him by phone. Nobody sent a message, text message, because there are no text messages at that time. And at that time, we didn't even, not everybody had telephones in Nigeria. If you had a telephone, you were doing good. Nobody. Early in the morning, the guy shows up the next day, September 6th. And jumps on my dad, who is his older brother. He said, "What did you do? You gave your son to the church? How dare you?" Gino doesn't talk to an elder like that. But after all of this happened, I asked myself, how did the guy know that my father had put me at the altar and given me to God? Nobody called him. Guess who told him? Those demons that he was worshiping. Are you with me? They had an agenda. And that agenda had collapsed. It has failed. I am now going to be full-time in ministry. That was not good news. That was not good news. No, 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 no. This is a person that's supposed to take care of the whole family, run the family business and make money and take care of us. Now you have given him to the church. Who's going to take care of us now? Lying devils. There is nothing that you do that the enemy is not monitoring. You're looking at me funny. The enemy is busy monitoring you. Tonight, please, this is the third time I'm saying it, don't miss tonight. Amen? Do everything that you can possibly do to be here tonight. If you are not, that's your business. You have to handle your business the way that you can. And there might be another solution someday. But the Word of God says, do not miss the day of your visitation. That's all I can say. So, yeah, the Midianites come. And the Bible says they came in a horde. Just like grass. Watch this. Watch this. While they are coming, the Word of God says God put his spirit on Gideon. This is God balancing the situation. You come in, Spirit of God comes upon Gideon. And when it came upon Gideon, he blew a trumpet. And then the Word of God says, and Abiezer was guarded after him. Abiezer, God, my helper. My father, my helper. God, the help came. When he blew that trumpet, the Spirit of God comes upon him. He blows the trumpet and help came. That's all God's word is saying. And when they came, the enemy came, they filled up the valley like grasshoppers. They came with their cattle. They came with their oxen. They came with all of their resources. They came to the ground. Who comes to battle carrying all of that? When Jehoshaphat met with the Moabites and the Ammonites and whatever else, the children of the east, they came with their jewelry. Soldiers coming with jewelry, gold and silver and special stones in their pockets. You're going to war? This is what God does. the wealth of the unbeliever is stored for his children, and he will convince them to collect all their stuff and come to it so that you don't need to go looking for it. It is there. I declare in the mighty name of Jesus Christ that whatever it is that you and I need will present itself to us. We don't need to go looking for it. It is right there. We just collect. Somebody say, I have a collecting anointing. Hallelujah. I am gathering it right now. Amen. They came. And all Israel came too. Naphtali, 32,000 people. And God decides to do something with the 32,000. He says, whoever it is that is afraid, go home. And 22,000 left. Now he's left with 10,000. And God says, still have too much. Too many people. And he says, okay, get them to the water. And if you have the picture, you can post it now. He said, get them to the water. And I want you to separate these two groups. The ones that lap the water like dogs would, set them aside. And the ones that bowed themselves down on a knee, set those aside. 9,700 did this at the water. The other 300 were down there lapping water like dogs. God says, take the 300. Take the 300 that are lapping water like dogs. You know what I see there? If I were God, I've chosen the 9,700 because they had one knee down. They can get up real quick. These guys have both knees down, and they are only 300. Definitely, I won't take these. But what does God do? He chooses these guys. Why? Because these guys have no fear. They are not afraid. Oh, but watch and pray. Jesus said, watch and pray. The other ones were one knee down, that's watching position, and one leg praying. God wants all of it. He wants you to watch the water of the word. Hello? That's what I want you watching, the water of the word. Don't be afraid. What was the 9,700 that had to leave? You see, just like the 22,000, these ones. See, if you got some issues at home, you just a newlywed, whatever, go home. make a decision. One, not to be afraid. Two, not to be totally engrossed with the natural world. If you, as good as the reason might be, are so engaged in the natural world, you will not qualify to be the 300. But this 300, which looked so unqualified in the natural, were the ones that God qualified to be the army that he's going to use. And guess what? He's going to use them, but they are not going to be engaged in the fight. They're only going to do two things: have a torch and a sword, and they're going to break open the pitcher that has a lamp in it, and they're going to say two key things. One, talking about the greatness of God, and two, talking about their unity in standing with Gideon. That's all God needed. Faith in God and unity in following the one that God has called you, called to be a leader. And that's how they won. Because the rest of it was the enemy fighting against each other and killing themselves. Praise the Lord. May God grant us wisdom to fulfill his mandate forever. Amen. I'll stop there. And tonight, we will go into the greater issues that brought us here. Because tonight, we will finish the fight. Praise the Lord. Rise with me. Almighty God, hallowed be thy name. 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 Be thy name, be thy name, hallowed be thy name. Be thy name, be thy name, hallowed be thy name. Lord, let your name be hallowed in our lives. We place our trust in you. We surrender our lives to you. And we ask, O God, that the word of faith, your word, be quickened in us. And Lord, O God, that the grace to, in the spirit of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, that we, O God, be skillful users, appliers of your word. Father, we thank you for what you have already done in us this morning. And we thank you for that which you will do in us again tonight. Father, we thank you that every enemy shall be caught up. Lord, O God, principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness that have been operational are going to be dislodged from that which you have given to us. And Father, that which has been stolen will be restored to us in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, O God, that the enemy is defeated and we are established in your word and your truth, and we are made prosperous by your prophetic declaration over our lives. I speak life and strength and healing upon your people. Thank you, Lord, that you are raising your sons and your daughters and doing something new and something extraordinary in each life. May your name be exalted, Most High God, we pray. In Jesus' mighty name, we declare it so done. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. At this time, we're going to honor God with our giving. If you've not released your tithe and offerings or vows, first fruits or whatever it is, this will be the time for you to do so. Release it as an expression of thanksgiving unto the Lord. And may God bless our seed sown. May He continue to increase us and establish us in His goodness. May you never lack in Jesus' mighty name. If you need elements of communion, just raise your hand and you will be served at this point as I invite Mama to come. For the fourth time, I will remind you not to miss tonight's service. It is a very targeted service. And there are things that we're going to accomplish tonight. Because as we said, many a times we are dealing with stuff that had nothing to do with us directly. But just because you are part of a particular family, certain things are destined to happen in your life if you don't change it. So let's make some changes tonight. Hallelujah. Do I have Mama step?
Same night Jesus was betrayed, He took bread, He broke it, and said, "This is my body, which was broken for us, so that we have a perfect exchange to receive His, and we give Him our broken body." Somebody say, "I receive wholeness."
I receive wholeness.
From the crown of my head, to the soles of my feet,
my
cells,
my bones,
my blood,
all my eternal
and external organs. From the crown of my head, to the soles
of my feet,
Jesus paid the price. I receive
the full benefit.
In Jesus' name, take and drink.
Amen.
Take and eat.
The blood of Jesus is all powerful. And this morning, as we take off this cup, representing the blood of Jesus, I ask that God will infuse every part of our person. For the blood flows into every area of your body. Let this blood flow and let it correct everything in the natural that needs to be corrected. Let it destroy every parasite, every bacteria that does not belong in your body. Let it correct everything that's affected your nerves, affected your DNA, affected your muscles, your skeletal structure, your marrow, everything in the natural, let it affect it. But greater than that, let this blood cleanse you from all sin, from all unrighteousness, even as the Lord has declared that it should be. And every consequence of that which is negative, let it be eradicated. Let this blood speak better things for you today. And let it challenge and dismantle everything that does not belong in your life. Take and drink and receive the covenant blessings. Thank you, Jesus.
Of men, you are the Most High God. There is none like you. The
Let's sing it one more time.
All of our gods, they are the works of man. You are the only God. There is none like you.
In Jesus' name, enjoy the blessings of the Lord. May God's goodness, His peace, His strength, His wisdom, His power enrich and establish you. And may you prosper in your going out and in your coming in. May every enemy fall before you. In Jesus' mighty name, have a blessed week in God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. May I remind you, next Sunday is a very special Sunday. We have a very special guest speaker with us. He's going to be coming to us with a word from the Father. God is getting us ready for great things that He has already ordained for us to experience. Amen? And it's our Mission Sunday, and we'll be having that great man of God, Archbishop John Praise Daniel, morning and evening. Amen? So come ready to receive the blessings of